This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. On the eve of the 2018 Winter Olympics, let us look back at one of the most dramatic moments of the most recent Summer Games. It transpired during the opening ceremonies in Rio's most celebrated soccer stadium, the Maracanã.
Tonga!
Because television wanted prime time for this prime time event, the TV audiences in the U.S. weren't going to see the parade of athletes until an hour after it had happened.
We knew an hour in advance that Pita Taufatofua was about to take over the world in a very odd way.
That's Ben Cohen. He was in Rio covering the games for the Wall Street Journal, and he was among the first U.S. citizens to see Pita Taufatofua enter the arena wearing nothing above his waist but a glistening coat of coconut oil and a necklace made of shark's teeth.
And we sort of became obsessed with him ever since that night, because it's not every day you see an extremely shirtless, extremely oiled man holding a Tongan flag and becoming a global celebrity on, you know, one of the world's most extraordinary sports stages.
For the next 2 weeks, Pita Taufatofua, a previously unknown Taekwondo athlete, was a celebrity inside the Olympic Village and beyond. Every time he walked through the village, a runner, a jumper, a swimmer, or a volleyball player would beg him to pose for a selfie. He was offered future opportunities to model, to act, and to pose some more without a shirt. But Pita was busy preparing for his second act in Rio, his opening round Taekwondo match against a fighter from Iran.
We thought that there might be some interest in him after the opening ceremony, so we decided that we were going to own this story and just flood the zone, so we sent three people.
That's Joshua Robinson, who went along with Ben Cohen to cover Pita's bout for the Wall Street Journal.
He lost, I believe the score was 16-1, and yet the entire arena was rooting for him. He won the crowd.
They were chanting, "Tonga, Tonga," and he was waving the Tongan flag.
Pita's match lasted just 6 minutes. The loss eliminated him from the tournament, but the story doesn't end there. This is Bill Littlefield in Boston. Is this Pita?
Yes, it sure is.
I recently reached Pita Taufatofua on Skype just after he had checked into a tiny hotel room with really spotty Wi-Fi in Germany. Pita was traveling with a Chilean and a Mexican. Until a few months ago, the three had never met, and the reasons for all this will soon become apparent, if not entirely rational. Pita explained he was not particularly disappointed that he'd lost his only match in Rio.
Absolutely not. I mean, 50% of everyone that fights in a Taekwondo tournament lose their first match. It's just, you know, it's the nature of the game. And the guy was better than me on the day, and he deserved the win. I'm just happy that I fought my best.
And the chants of Tonga, Tonga that accompanied that country's only athlete at the Games, as he became one of the few losing competitors ever to provide a crowd with a victory lap?
That was a bigger win for me, because, you know, now people know where Tonga is.
Or at least some people do, and in case you don't, Tonga is an archipelago in the southern Pacific Ocean. Think Samoa, only further south, which means there's no snow there, which wouldn't matter except that Pita had such a good time at the 2016 Summer Olympics that he decided he couldn't wait to do it again until 2020. He wanted to compete in the upcoming Winter Games in South Korea. So he turned down all those modeling and acting offers, and he figured the most difficult sport for a huge Tongan to master would be cross-country skiing. So since a little over a year ago, that's what he's been trying to do.
I had absolutely no snow. I had no stamina. I had no funds. I had absolutely nothing. But I had a will. And so we found ways that I could practice. And in summer, you know, I saw that they were practicing on roller skis.
On roller skis, a cross-country skier needs only pavement to practice the motions necessary to actually cross-country ski. Great, right?
These are the worst things ever made. I tell you, the amount of concrete that I've eaten, no one should ever go through that process.
But Pita Taufatofua has gone through that process, and the process has moved him a little closer to his goal of competing at the Winter Games. The Wall Street Journal's Ben Cohen explains.
After the Sochi Games in 2014, the International Ski Federation decided, in an effort to expand its field to warm weather nations, it decided to allow points accrued in roller skiing events to count toward cross-country skiing. So it is possible to qualify for cross-country skiing at the Olympics by getting most of your points while on roller skis.
It's like qualifying to play basketball in the Olympics by building up points playing shuffleboard.
Or pop a shot, yeah.
Right, in the arcade.
I think you'll have to take your beef to the International Ski Federation, though.
Yeah, but why would I want to do that? Because why would I want to deprive a taekwondo athlete from Tonga of the opportunity to compete in cross-country skiing? And as it happens, over the past year or so, PETA has roller skied well enough so that all he needs is one vaguely decent result in a race on actual snow to make it to South Korea. Unhappily, his most recent attempt to achieve that result in Poland last weekend did not go well.
I was on my first lap and the ski, it broke off my boot and ended up going back down the hill that took me 15 minutes to ski up.
Maybe the ski broke off the boot because, well, I'll leave it to PETA to explain why his equipment isn't perhaps Olympic quality.
I've been racing on rental skis in all these races, and it turns out that the professionals have, 30, 40 pairs of one ski for soft snow, one ski for hard snow, and I've only got one ski, so I guess it makes a decision easier which one to use, huh?
Happily, PETA hasn't been alone in his quest to get the last result he needs to qualify for the Winter Olympics. He's been traveling to races across Europe and training with the aforementioned Mexican and Chilean. The latter actually has some experience in the sport. He skied in a sprint event at the 2014 Games in Sochi. The Wall Street Journal's Joshua Robinson says the Tongan rookie has been trying to learn from the veteran.
I saw him give the other two a lesson on how to wax skis properly. And Jonathan, the Chilean, starts pulling out these little tubs of ski wax, telling PETA how much they cost, sometimes 40 or 50 bucks a pop. And he had 10 or 15 of them in this duffel bag, saying, well, this one is for wet snow, this one is for dry snow, this one's for hard snow. And PETA went very quiet, because all he had was one pack of wax that he'd bought on eBay, and it was for snowboards.
PETA and his two mates call themselves the Exotics, and they've pushed each other to train hard, sometimes as often as three times a day, including skiing after dark. During those sessions, they light the trails with the flashlights on their iPhones. PETA maintains that they each bring different talents to the partnership.
One guy knows how to wax skis. One guy knows how to book a hotel room, I guess. We find out what resources we have and we work together. And I think that's, to me, that's the Olympic spirit. It's not all about gold medals and, just destroying each other. It's actually about bringing up each other.
It's a grand and heartening vision, that is. But on a less spiritual plane, a gold medal would be welcome. PETA estimates that his quest has put him in a hole that's $30,000 to $40,000 deep.
I think I need to win the gold medal and sell it just to get back to zero.
PETA has this weekend and the next to race well enough somewhere so that the International Ski Federation will okay his participation in the Games. Success doesn't seem likely, but maybe, as PETA has suggested, success as traditionally defined isn't the whole point. Trying one's best is part of the point, as is pursuing a goal about as unlikely as it could be. Joshua Robinson feels PETA Taufatofua's adventure offers us a perspective too easily buried under the noise generated by the commercial spectacle of the Games.
I think it's easy to be cynical about the Winter Olympics and the Olympics in general now. Fewer and fewer countries want to host them. There seems to be a constant hurricane of scandal, especially after Sochi with Russian doping. And when you look at PETA's story, there's nothing of that about it. He's trying to take an underrepresented country to the Olympics because he enjoyed being there and because he felt he wanted to take on a new challenge. And that's really what it should be about.
That, and whether if PETA makes it to South Korea, whether he'll wear a shirt during the opening ceremonies. I couldn't help myself. I had to ask.
Who knows? Anything can happen. It's the Olympics.